I doubted myself many, many years to where they would tell me, Alex, you will never get inside the agency because you're Latino, you're from Colombia, and because of your skin, the color of your skin. And that got to my head.
Hi, I'm Kathy Jo with Aviation Center of Excellence, and this is Aviation Uncovered, a podcast dedicated to uncovering insightful conversations, expert advice, and powerful stories, all from people who absolutely love aviation. Today's episode, we're going to be uncovering the culture of development and the role that trust and values play in creating that culture and why they're so crucial. My guest today is Alexander Munoz.
Mm-hmm.
Munoz.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Alex has over 30 years experience in aviation. In fact, you just had your 30-year anniversary. Congratulations on
that.
Thank you. Alex currently works with the FAA. So you've got a vast array of experience, and I'm excited to kind of dig all of that out of you. So let's get started. So Alex, one of the things I want to start off with is, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced through your career?
So first thing is, thank you so much for having me. So I really appreciate the opportunity. Regarding the challenges, you know, we as individuals, as professionals, we deal with a vast amount of challenges throughout our career. But I think that if I can just single or maybe select one piece of it, would be the influence that certain people have in you. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that sometimes negativity plays a big role into the world that we're in. So we live in South Florida, and you know, there's so much diversity here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just people that from all corners of the world, but somewhere, somehow, that influence gets into your head. And sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, I doubted myself many, many years to where they would tell me, Alex, you will never get inside the agency because you're Latino, you're from Colombia, and because of your skin, the color of your skin. And that got to my head until one day I met a mentor, and he told me, he goes, what if they can do it? Why can't you? Why don't you just start flipping your mindset and just think positive about yourself and the things that you have to prepare, and you will see that you are going to overcome that challenge. So I will tell you that that's one of the key things that, you know, sometimes people can play with in your mind.
Yeah.
But the most instrumental part about success, it really starts with you.
You know, the self-talk that we have, the things that go in our head, play such a huge role. It really creates the pathway of mm-hmm. your entire existence.
Yes.
And what I think a lot of people don't understand is that's a choice. That talk that goes on in your head, you can choose to listen to the negative mm-hmm. or you can choose to turn that around to something more positive.
That is true. And I'll tell you one thing. The other day I had a conversation with another professional, and he taught me that one of the common things that we all have mm-hmm. is that choice.
Yeah.
Everybody has it. It's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And we could either choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing, or up or down and vice versa. But I'll tell you, you know, it really, really starts with how bad do you want it? You know, what is it that really is going to get in your way?
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, and to your listeners, is that the biggest challenge that I saw back in that time frame, it wasn't the people. It wasn't the interviews. It wasn't the opportunity itself. It was me.
Yeah, we get in our own way. Yeah.
We get into our own way. And sometimes, you know, that can be a challenging. It could be overwhelming. But I'll tell you one thing, once you realize that it's really up to you and you're not competing against anybody else, you're really competing against yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's when the real challenges come.
And I think one of the things that I've learned is that to be able to have the power to create that choice, that switch, you have to know yourself.
Yeah.
And you said that how bad do you want it? What's really important to you is something that we need to identify.
Mm-hmm.
Because that it will give us the power to really be able to change that. And this is where values come in.
Mm-hmm.
So many people go through life and don't really even know their own personal values.
Right.
And that's what gives you your strength. That's what gives you, that defines your behavior or your values.
Right.
We had a conversation the other day that we really should have recorded. It was a fascinating conversation. It went on for a long time. And what came out of that was the idea of how values are such an integral part of our life and our career, mm-hmm. and how that psychological safety and creating that sense of trust for our employees allows them to really grow and develop.
So I will tell you this, if I can add to that, right? Mm-hmm. So I see core values mm-hmm. as a foundation, but foundations also need work.
Yeah.
And just like your mindset is always going to be shifting. So if you stick to the basics of your core values, what your parents taught you, your grandparents, your friends, they have a certain influence. But the biggest influence is the one that you take upon yourself to say, now that I have the baseline, what am I going to do with this? Mm-hmm. Am I just going to be complacent, or am I going to grow so I can influence others? That's powerful.
Yeah.
And I think that as leaders and as we move on with positions, I don't see success by me telling you I became a manager or I became a director. That is not power. That's not really success for me. For me, success is really sticking to your basic core values of who you are and always look back and never forget who you are. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're always going to be genuine. Some people see that. People see through that. And I think that being genuine and be realistic of who you are and what you are to people, those core values will always flourish
throughout your career. And if you're not true to your values, like you said, people see right through that.
Mm-hmm.
People should be able to identify what your values are or come pretty close by your own actions and your behavior. And if they don't trust that, if what you're saying is different from what you're doing, they're not going to trust you.
No.
So there's no way that you're going to be able to help them. There's no way you're going to be able to grow them. They're not part of your team. They're complying with you.
Yes.
And that's it. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. I lead a people. I work with people that they come from all corners of the world, right? Mm-hmm. And they have one thing that it fascinates me is that you have trust as long as you have it. And when you are leading them and you're helping them develop, they trust you until the moment that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part is trying to regain that trust. So that's one thing that you always have to keep on working. It's a working relationship.
It's never a one and done.
Yeah.
It's now I got trust, I can lean back and do whatever I want. That's not it.
Yeah.
And we're human beings. We break the trust sometimes, or people don't see the big picture of it. Mm. But that's where you come back and you address it with them.
Yes. And I'll tell you one thing, it's incredible how you see brilliance in people when sometimes they don't even see it. But when you're taking them on through the process and you show them your own core values, which is that's the main topic that we're talking about, it's incredible how they look at themselves like, man, I never saw that in me. And when you start seeing that essence of people,
that light that just starts shining from them.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I didn't know I can do this. And I says, you did it. You knew it all along. You just needed to go through the process and believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will empower themselves.
Yeah.
And that's just a whole different kind of leadership there.
And then the next level, they start empowering others too.
Yes.
Consistency. That's success.
Consistency. Yes. Yes. And I think that as long as we remain focused on that, you know, we are able to be effective contributors.
Yeah.
And oh, you know what? May I?
Yes.
I don't want you to get your
Thank you.
And it's okay. You know, I get emotional too. But I'll tell you one thing. Some of us have the ability of being transformational.
Yeah.
To have empathy, but consistently.
And that's the hard part. You can have it once, and that's easy.
Yeah.
Living it is a total different story.
Yeah. And let me tell you, every time I work with I don't consider myself a manager. I consider myself a leader I learn something new every day about myself and about my team members. But I'll tell you one thing. I am so proud of them. And it's incredible how you see them just being transformed into something that they didn't recognize before. And when you see that and you're able to recognize it, you're able to build a bigger level of trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told my kids the same way. And I was like, just because you are here, you're in honor roll, you're a straight A student, it's okay if you're going to fail. Failure is actually part of the process of being successful.
Yes, it is. It's a big part of it. Yeah.
But you tie that to your core values, it gives it a different meaning.
Explain.
So some people sometimes they thrive on the fact that they concentrate more on the failure. Oh my God, I failed at this. And then you just get spooled up into this world of just negativity and like, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it. It's really hard to change that mindset because it just becomes a norm. But when you show them your own core values and how you are as a person that you can trust and is a reciprocal system, and you take that mindset out of it,
yeah.
You know what? Man, it's okay to fail. Yes, let's celebrate failure. I am one that I was like, I always say to my team members, okay, what did we learn from it? What were the key takeaways?
Yeah.
And what are we gonna do just in case? What are we gonna do next time?
Yes.
Differently. Yep. Oh, wow, but how did you get there? It's just, let's just shift your mindset to something completely away from negativity. And it just plays wonders.
Well, and that's the willingness to be vulnerable with yourself and with other people too.
Yeah.
And you can't do that unless you have that sense of value that I am here for something bigger.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be weak or to have a moment of just crying, like what's going to happen to you. I'll share this with you because I'm a little bit better. About 2 months ago, I lost my younger brother. He passed away. He was a police officer. He was also in the U.S. Army. And one of my team members noticed it. And I said, you know, she says, I know how you are. I can sense it, that there's something wrong with you. And I said, you know what? It's okay for me to be vulnerable with you. I don't have to be embarrassed by it. So I told him what happened, and I started to cry. And I said, you know, I encouraged him. You know, he was my younger brother. I was always some of that figure for him, that I was a superhero for him.
Right.
But in fact, he was always a superhero for me because of all the things that he accomplished on his own. And when I started just opening up my heart to him, he says, you know, this is exactly what I mean by leadership. You just open up your heart to me, and it's okay. I can feel it, that you're sincere about what you're telling me and how it hurts you that your brother passed away. And I said, you know what? It's okay to be weak. It's okay to be vulnerable. It happens to all of us because we're human.
Of course. And when you own that weakness and you're okay with it, nobody could ever use it against you.
That's
and that's
right.
What people are afraid of. I can't show it because they might use it against me to hurt me.
Yes.
You know, own it. Make it your own. And then that gives you strength, too.
Yeah. 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 And, you know.
And I am so sorry.
No, go ahead.
By the way.
Oh, no. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, and it just, every day, you know, when we have good opportunities or good stories to tell, you know, I always bring it back to those basics, the basics of who you are as a person. And as long as you stay genuine to that, we'll be fine.
Yeah. So what makes you get up and what drives you every day?
My two kids.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. My two kids, Sebastian and Abigail, my two kids are there. They inspire me to move myself every single day. They're too different. They're different, obviously, in the way their characters are. But at the same time, they see how dad talks, the impacts I have on people. And just a quick little story. My daughter tells me the other day, Dad, I heard you talking to one of your employees, and I saw how you were encouraging her to get past the challenge and how you were helping her put certain things in place so she can be successful. She says, Daddy, I am so very proud of you.
Aww.
How do you do it? I want to help others. That's how a small little girl that's 10 years old starts understanding the power of transforming people and the impacts you have on them.
And that's how you start teaching empathy.
Yes.
Because empathy can be learned.
Yes. Yes. And something that you got to work on every day.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, those that right there and seeing people get to where they want to be and just going through that process. But it's not about heading. It's not about getting this. How you got there.
Mm-hmm.
The journey, right?
Yes.
And what was it that you learned along the way? It's not, I got to Miami and then, you know, and I flew in an airplane. Yeah, but what was it that transpired throughout the process? What did you do? And what would you do different?
So would you say family is then one of your values?
Yeah. I'll tell you that. Value, dignity, respect. Mm-hmm. That's one of the key things that drives me every day, because I know that they're always looking at me. They're always evaluating what I do. Okay. And our actions speak louder than words.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does that translate to work?
It's easy, because you know what? I don't see myself as that I go every day and I do a job. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself in that level, in that spectrum. I see it as just the same way that my kids inspire me, my family inspires me. The people that I work with, that I learn, that I grow every single day, they also inspire me. I learn from them. And that mutual learning, mm-hmm. that approach, that coaching approach that I always apply with them, and even to myself,
it
just plays wonders of how maximizing their performance and how their skill levels grow and grow and grow. I feed off of that.
So what you just said, so creating that coach approach with people, that mm-hmm. conversation, that mm-hmm. sense of safety there. Mm-hmm. And when you create that sense of safety, the innate process of that is trust.
Yes.
Trust is what comes out of that. Mm-hmm. And that leads to them growing and growing and growing. Mm-hmm. So we talked about values, trust, we talked about vulnerability. Mm-hmm. All of those are essential in development.
Correct.
You yes. have to be able to offer that as a foundation for mm-hmm. people to build on.
And I'm going to share something with you that I'm a true believer. If you don't believe in that you are also a contributor to the culture and to the environment that you're in, mm-hmm. because it's not just about you, mm-hmm. the position doesn't define you.
Right.
You know what really defines that aspect of the process? It's the end results. And if they're successful, you are going to be successful. If you inspire one, you can inspire two, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So I think that by contributing constantly, right, having that consistency, using that critical thinking, and allow others to also expand on how they think, because we don't want to limit them. We want to be able to give them all the resources we can, mm-hmm. but also allow them to be successful, expand on their knowledge, expand. How are we going to challenge them? Because the moment that you're extracted from your formula, they have to operate on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they should be able to do that.
Exactly.
And you mentioned critical thinking, which is a skill that, again, another skill. It's not something that you're born with, mm-hmm. but that critical thinking is something that we have quelled in people a lot. Mm-hmm. Micromanagement does that.
Yes.
Giving people the answers all the time mm-hmm. does that. Allow people to be vulnerable. Allow them to fail. Mm-hmm. Allow them to experiment and come up with an idea, and then question them on that.
Yeah.
Coach them through that. Mm-hmm. Well, if you did that, where would that lead you over here? To help develop that critical thinking in people.
And no, and it's incredible how at the beginning they come up with the problem. Mm-hmm. But when you put it back on them, to use yes. that train of thought, I did this on my own. Mm-hmm. That's also part of the success.
Mm-hmm. So Alex, you have been doing this for just a few days over 30 years. That's a long time. I've worked with a lot of people in the industry, and after a while they start feeling tired, frustrated. That sense of burnout starts coming through. Have you ever experienced that?
You know, as professionals, I think all of us go through that. But I think that the process that I'm in, the personal endeavors, the personal challenges that I have been facing has allowed me to think otherwise. And mm-hmm. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, how hungry I am for the next level. But the people that have helped me get to where I am today, mm-hmm. those people were instrumental. And they inspire me to not fall into that mindset.
Yeah.
I know it's there. I have situational awareness. Uh-huh. And I'm always thinking, man, I know it's there. It's a living thing, but it's not going to control my path. It's not going to control my future. So I'm aware of it, but also you have to be able to go ahead and say to yourself, how true are you to what you want?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's important.
So one of my core values is purpose. And mm-hmm. I try to incorporate that in everything I do. And part of the purpose that I want to have is for people to actually, so we spend most of our life at work, mm-hmm. right? If it's a good situation at work, we tend to go home happy.
Yeah.
If it's a bad situation at work, we tend to go home not so happy.
Yeah.
So I want to try to help create that happy family environment, mm-hmm. through creating a happy work environment. So everything I do is kind of centered around that purpose, to try to help create that for myself and for others too.
And people will see that too.
Yeah. So that, you know, I've faced hard times. I've faced challenges. I faced like times where it's like, oh my gosh, people just don't get it if you'll just listen to me. But going back to that value has helped me to push through those frustrations and even that burnout, because it can add up, you know, it can get you worn down.
It's overwhelming,
yeah.
Yeah, and we live in such a fast-paced society to where things can just spark up in a moment, or we have certain deadlines, we have certain things that we need to do. But if you stick to those values,
yeah,
as a person, as a professional, as a mom, as a dad, and so on and so forth, and having that emotional intelligence, it plays an integral part of who you are, and people will see to that. Because if you're transparent and you're genuine, you don't have to worry about being something else.
Right. And you talked about a key thing there, that emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. That is so important, not only to help get yourself through situations, but also to be able to relate to other people and to help them as well, help develop and grow them too. If we don't have that sense of emotional intelligence for ourselves and how we relate to others, we're just walking through life.
Yeah.
We're not creating a different environment. We're not creating a better environment. We're not contributing. And you said before that we're contributors. Mm-hmm. That's how we should be. Whether we're leaders or not, we should be contributors.
Yeah, and you know what? And I love the way you put it. But I will add to that is the fact that if we have situational awareness, and we have that emotional intelligence, what are we going to do with it? What's the objective?
Yes.
So it's recognizing that you have it is one thing, but what are you really going to do with it?
Right.
How is that going to empower others that they can do the same thing and then they have the same consistency of empowering others? That's true success.
Yeah. I always say leaders, their job is not to create a product or anything. It's to create leaders.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? We all have an essence in us. And the hardest part is putting it out there to the world. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Not everything's bright colors, you know, and everything's successful. Even if you fail, and the people that are listening to us right now, I will tell you, failure, there's beauty in failure. Because if you can extract certain things, your key takeaways, and how you view things, what would I do different?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that progress to where you're looking at yourself, you're like, okay, hold on a second. I know I failed, and it happens. If you recognize that, how are you gonna build from there? You're gonna become a bigger professional, a bigger person, more humble.
Yeah.
Accepting feedback, which is a huge thing that most people can't do.
Yeah.
It's one thing to give it, but also to receive it, right? And the way I see it is, I'm human too. I'll take it. It's only going to help me grow. Yep. It's that mindset.
Yeah. And actually, that's something that I'd like to throw out to our audience. So in the comment section, please share what have you learned from your failures, and how has that helped you grow? The more we share that, the more we own up to the fact that we failed. Because I've screwed up. I've done it lots of times. I try to learn from it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But if you share that, the more we talk about it and put it out there, the more comfortable others will be as well. And like you said before, those are our biggest lessons. Those are the catalyst points that really can get us to the next level.
Now, I'll tell you one thing about failure. There are individuals that we'll expand on that, we'll feed off of that. That's okay too. You be you.
Yep.
I learned that from a good friend of mine that he's taught me in this past year about that. Being genuine to yourself, it's so instrumental to really being transparent and being genuine. But I'll tell you one thing, they will have their own journey.
Yes, and that's part of their journey.
And that's part of their journey. And it's okay. And if they're okay that's the way they are, it's okay.
So one of the things that I find a little bit interesting is someone from the FAA is saying, it's okay to fail, guys. Mm-hmm. It's okay to fail.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this so many times, and people are like, we're in the aviation. We can't fail. If we fail, bad things happen. And that's true. But talk to me a little bit about allowing failure in this environment.
So when failure, it's basically on the level of not destructive, meaning that it wasn't with intent, right? Mm-hmm. To create a hazard or a risk. And that's what the FAA is all about. Risk management, certifications, and making sure that those risks are controlled through, and we use the SMS process to basically isolate or even mitigate those risks. But there's more to that. The FAA has a different mentality now, meaning we are working collaboratively with the certificate holders, that if the certificate holder genuinely says, hey, you know what, I made a mistake, well, let's build on that. Let's build on that. Let's change the way that the way that the flying public sees the FAA as that we are here to hold you accountable. We are. Mm-hmm. But if we work together, we make a better and safer environment.
Right.
And I think that's important. Look, I'll share this with you. I remember going to a company, and I was a PMI for the company, and I arrived, and we call it the chicken effect. And the reason why I call it the chicken effect is because, you see, when you go inside a farm and you go inside the hen house, all the chickens fly, and you see, all you see is feathers, meaning everybody leaves.
It scatters.
Yeah, they scatter. Everybody scattered, right? The interesting thing was this gentleman that approached me, and he says, and he starts trembling. Oh my God, you're with the FAA. He started stuttering. And I said, sir, what did you do this morning? Well, I had breakfast. Well, so did I. And what did you do after that? No, I put on my work clothes, I prepared, I got my lunch, I said goodbye to my wife, and then I left to come here. Funny, I did the same thing. So I was trying to shift that mindset of being afraid and being intimidated. And then we started talking. I was like, well, you know what? Can you show me what you're doing and what part of the process you're in? Oh, look, I'm here. And I started seeing the confidence in him. I started seeing that part of him that I knew it was there.
Yeah.
Now, not all stories are that way. But what I'm trying to get at is I started shifting his mindset every time we met and we had that interaction to where after that, it's okay to talk to the FAA. He's a person just like me. He has a responsibility, and so do I as an airman, right? And then all of a sudden, everybody started gathering more and people coming more, asking key questions. Then I started developing a workshop. Every time I came in, who has a question? What's your biggest challenge? What do you think we can do better?
Yeah.
Put it back on them, right?
Yes,
our mentality.
That's right.
And have them use it and expand more in the critical thinking. We changed the culture from within.
So what you're doing there, and this is what you did, was you created that culture of development.
Yeah.
What you're doing there is you're establishing trust. You made that connection, and that's so important with creating that sense of trust. You made that connection with them, and you started making them feel safe.
Yes.
That this is not a gotcha, and so many, the accountability is so crucial, and we either don't do it, or we do it wrongly.
Right.
Instead of accountability is just holding you to account, and if you're not there, we're gonna help you get there.
Yeah.
Sometimes disciplinary actions come along with that. So most of the time they don't have to.
That's true.
So your approach was, let me grow you, let me develop you.
Yeah.
And that can be leaders doing that, inspectors doing that, FAA doing that. That's the approach that we should be taking. Is how do we grow and develop at all levels?
At all levels. And I'll tell you one thing. Even at the I call it the iceberg mentality. We always see the pinnacle. We never see what the foundations are. Foundations means even the person that sweeps the floor, cleans the bathroom, they are part of the organization,
1,000%.
If you can inspire those people, imagine what you can do with the owners.
Yep.
So what I did was, I flipped it around. These are the people that we need to concentrate on. They already know the expectation.
Yeah.
And changing that culture takes time. But my thing is, my passion drives me to what's the next level? How bigger can we get? how closer we can get. And when we started shifting that, the trust went higher. And then the company started saying, hey, you know, they want you back. They want to talk to you more. They're no longer scared.
Yeah.
And you know what? We accomplished that as a team, not as an I.
So how do we start spreading that philosophy more throughout the industry?
Education, training, outreach, this platform.
The conversations.
Yes, the conversations. The conversations. And I think, you know, all of us in the FAA, we're all professionals. We have, we all have such a vast amount of leaders that, that have so many skills and so many things that the companies are growing. The companies are being safer. We have better relationships. And we're doing that. But I think if we go back to the basics of things, one of my mentors taught me that, always stick to the basics. I'll tell you, we can make bigger and better things for the aviation industry and the future of what's coming for us.
So basics, expand a little bit more on that.
So we talked about the core values, right?
Yeah.
We talked about respect. We talked about trust, team building, and inspiring others. I think as we face certain challenges in life within the aviation industry, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're in a small company or a big, large airline, it doesn't matter. All of us are built something on the foundation of who we are as individuals.
Yeah.
But as individuals, we create teams. And if we can build cohesive teams and effective leadership, I read the other day that leadership cannot be replaced with dictatorship. That's huge.
That's really huge.
Yeah.
Because they're two totally opposing philosophies.
Correct. So when you approach the, hey, Kathy, you, I expect you to do this, and then if not, you're going to get fired, versus, hey, Kathy, how are you today? You know, we have this project that's due at the end of the week. I know you have what it takes. You have any challenges? Can I provide you any resources? I want you to take that because I know I have faith in you, and you got to have faith in yourself. You notice that change?
Really, I'm going to lean into that, where the other one I would like lean out from that.
Yeah. So. And it happens all the time. And it's sometimes we have our bad days, but we just have to stick to the basics.
Yeah. And remember, we have these big, beautiful, magnificent machines that we're working on, but we're working with people.
Yeah. And people's the driving force of everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. We can't get it done without people.
Look, Kathy, I'll share this. I think I shared this with you before. About 28 years ago, when I remember when I first got my AMP, I remember going to the FAA office, and I didn't even have an appointment. I waited 5.5 hours, because when you don't have an appointment, you can't get into the facility. So I waited and waited and waited and waited, and I remember the lady's like, I know you've been waiting for hours. We have a slot that got canceled. And I told myself, I'm going to do this. I don't care what people told me that they're not going to give me my authorization to take my AMP test. I'm going to do this. So I came up with a concept. It's a very simple, humble concept that I came up with on that same day. It's called visualize, prepare, and execute. BPE. And I started visualizing myself that I was able to overcome all of the negativity, all of the challenges that I was facing in the industry. And I said, I'm going to have my own vision. I prepared. I made sure that I met the qualifications, that I had exceeded them.
Yeah.
Because one thing is to meet the requirements, but when you exceed them, if you fail, you're still within that threshold. And then there's the part that I really, really, if I can leave something today, is the execution part. Execution comes from within.
Yeah.
And all those elements, your core values, your vision, your hunger, your thirst, how are we going to get there? I know I'm going to get there. When you execute, there's no room for anything else but success.
But the execution part is where the fear comes in.
Yeah, but you know what? When you execute, even having fears, you will overcome that challenge.
But that's what stops a lot of people is the lack of execution.
Yeah.
So having that vision is just a great idea
mm-hmm.
until you execute it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do we, we've talked about developing leadership mm-hmm. And that's to help create that culture of development.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do, or it's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. You have to really have everybody on board. And one of the things that I found is you have to be able to have those values defined, and most organizations have their values defined.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, you actually have to incorporate those values.
Yeah.
And even when those values are getting in the way of profit,
mm-hmm.
you still have to stick to those values.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to let profit go.
Yeah.
In order to maintain those values. That's hard.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, because the industry drives that.
Right.
Right. But here's the thing, too. If you don't have a happy, productive, cohesive team to get you where you need to be, what do you have?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same way, for example, for us in the FAA, to where our mission, our values,
mm-hmm.
right? You cannot believe or you cannot do what we do if you think that, well, there's a end game or there's a result at the end that's not going to be profitable for me.
Right.
So we are public servants. And what I mean by that is that we believe, we truly believe that we are here to exceed aviation safety.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next level of safety?
Mm-hmm.
I am a big time believer of that because it's within my own values. And all of us in the FAA have different values, but we all believe in the mission to provide the most safest, most reliable aerospace system in the world, right? And we are global leaders.
Absolutely.
But guess what? The FAA, honestly, is driven by people. The companies are driven by people. So for example, X company that has 100 employees. And then what you said is true. Do you replace the basics and the core values with money? Yeah, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to be successful without having the right people in place.
Right. And I think that's something that a lot of companies don't, they forget about, is they look at the immediate profit and sometimes forget about the long-term profit.
Yeah.
And that profit may not be monetary. It might be in their brand. It might be in accomplishing that mission of safety.
Mm-hmm.
It might be that we have another global crisis and we don't have the employees mm-hmm. anymore,
mm-hmm.
but this company has focused on growing and developing their employees, so they have a loyal following there.
That, you know, and I've shared that with a lot of owners, small mm-hmm. airlines, big airlines with 30, 40 jets, and I always tell them the same thing. Okay, you overcome so many challenges. You are here. You got 40 jets in your op specs, and oh my God, you're a successful company, and you have all this money. What about the core values of the company? And this is what I flip on them, so they can have that mindset change. Do you want to change your values over the mission, or the mission over the values?
Ooh.
And they're like, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's changing that mindset. It's such an integral part of what we need to do as leaders.
Well, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much, Alex. I really appreciate your time. And I've absolutely loved this. This has been great. And it's gone by way too fast.
No, Kathy, look, and I really appreciate you and your team for giving me this opportunity. I hope that we can leave something today for all those individuals that are listening, and to where I can leave them with this. Regardless of the outcomes, regardless of the challenges, and regardless of the process,
mm-hmm.
always be true to you.
Absolutely.
Don't allow anything or anyone to get in your way, because the only obstacle that's preventing you, that you're listening, is yourself.
Yep.
That's the only obstacle that you need to go over. Overcome that, and you'll always be successful.
And I hope all of you out there are listening to that, because that's a really important point. And I want to thank you guys for spending the time and listening to us today, too. And being a part of our conversation. I definitely look forward to your feedback on your failures and the lessons that you've learned. If you've liked the conversation, please like and share. Until next time, looking forward to chatting. Bye.